السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Covered Pearls with me, Zakira Ansermia. It's a Monday afternoon and this program, Covered Pearls, comes to you live out of KwaZulu-Natal, Durban, South Africa. So it's great being in your company once again. And inshallah, in the next hour, what you can expect is a load of female masail, as well as some tidbits with regards the various ziyarat points that you will visit if you go on Umrah or Hajj, as well as our inspiration and motivation, which we start off with, and that is from Surah Nur. Today, inshallah, we will be speaking about something very interesting indeed. How often has it been that we have asked for a fatwa regarding something that we have a bit of doubt with, or something that we are finding difficult to grapple with, a situation in our life? And when we are given this ruling, we don't necessarily agree with it to the extent that we feel we don't want to apply it in our lives. Now, the question to ask then is, do we have the capacity, do we have the ability to be able to decide and make a choice as to what we want to follow and what we don't want to follow? And also, when these things come to the fore, is it necessary for us to follow the regulation or the Sharia ruling as it has been placed? Or do we have the choice of then doing it our own way? Yes, this is the Quranic ayah that we are going to be discussing, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in detail speaks about these things. That is from Surah Nur. And then, like we've been doing for the past few weeks, in fact a few months now, alhamdulillah, since the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, we have been discussing the life of various sahabiyyat and pious women of our past. From the commencement of the days of Hajj, the month of Dhul-Qa'dah having commenced, we have taken a look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the various females in his household. So last week we took a detailed look at the life of Sarah radiallahu anha, the role she played in our past, in our history, and the lessons that we could learn from her illustrious life. Today, inshallah, we continue and we look at the life of Hajar radiallahu anha. Who was she? How did she come into the household of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam? And what role did she play in our history? Well, all that and more coming to you after this ad break.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance, or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top-performing Sharia-compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Also on the authority of Abi Dharrin, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to the Prophet, may the blessings and the peace of Allah be upon him. O Messenger of Allah, the wealthy have made off with the rewards. They pray as we pray, they fast as we fast, and they give away in charity the superfluity of the wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, has not Allah made things for you to give away in charity? Truly, every tasbihah, to say subhanallah, is a charity. Every takbirah, to say Allahu Akbar, is a charity. Every tahmidah, to say alhamdulillah, is a charity. And every tahleelah, to say la ilaha illallah, is a charity. To give advice for a righteous act is a charity. To reprimand the doing of an evil action is a charity. And in the intimate act of each of you, there is a charity. They said, O Messenger of Allah, when one of us fulfills his sensual desire, will he have some reward for that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you not think that were he to fulfill his desire unlawfully, he would be sinning? Likewise, if he has fulfilled his desire lawfully, he will have his reward. Related by Muslim.
Triple BEE, Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment. How about Best Business Behavior, Exemplary Excellence? Have you had a good or bad experience as a client or customer? Or have you observed good customer behavior while running your business? If so, share your story and here's one way to do it. Submit your experience of no longer than 200 words to ecofin@islamsa.org.za. That's ecofin@islamsa.org.za. And your story can be read out on the weekly At-Tajir Hour. Only on Radio Islam International. Submission requirements. Stories should not contain real names of people or service providers. Stories should be submitted no later than the last Friday preceding the regular Tuesday at Tajir Hour. Please note that Radio Islam International reserves the right to select, edit, and air submissions.
Did you know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pay the laborer his wages before his sweat dries?
The cheaper, faster, and safer way of cooking. Yes, that's Snappy Chef. Snappy Chef specializes in a wide range of induction stoves, including a two-plate Snappy Chef gas stove, top-quality cookware, kettles, and much more. Phone Snappy Chef in Pretoria on 012-997-1612. That's 012-997-1612. Or visit www.snappychef.co.za. Snappy Chef, the cheaper, faster and safe way of cooking in South Africa.
يا لؤلؤا قد صان عفتها الخمار بين السفور وبينك حجب الفخار يا لؤلؤا زاد العفاف مريقها وهدى الكتاب يظلها ظل المحار أنت كمثل البدر يبرق نوره رغم السحائب دونه مثل الستار.
This is the program Covered Pearls and you're with me, Zakira Ansar Miar. In the first segment of this program, inshallah, we will be touching on a very beautiful ayah of Surah Nur, but one that also gives us a lot of lessons that we can draw from it. Lessons that we can really apply in our daily life. So without any further ado, let's go into it then and let's see what this beautiful ayah has to tell us. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ وَعَصَعْنَا ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا. And they say, we believe بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ. We believe in Allah and we believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only do we believe, وَأَطَعْنَا, they say, we also follow every commandment. ثُمَّ, then, يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. A group from among them turn away. Why? مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, after having said that they obey. And then Allah says, why do they turn away? وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because these people, they are not actually believers. Subhanallah. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints the picture of the hypocrites. The hypocrites of that time, and even those amongst us who live as Muslims, but our actions sometimes show hypocrisy. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say in a hadith? That ayatul munafiqi thalas, that the signs of a munafiq are three. Idha haddatha kadhab, when he speaks he lies, wa idha tumina khan, and when he is given some trust, some amana, then he betrays this amana. Wa idha wa'ada akhlaf, and when he makes a promise to someone that he will keep up this promise, then he goes against it. And in some other narrations, it is وَإِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرٍ. And also, this would mean that when he makes a wa'ad, a ahad, you know, he makes a pledge and a promise with someone, then he goes against it. Subhanallah. So, whether it be that we have any one of these qualities in us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we are able to free ourselves from all these qualities of hypocrisy, or whether it be that we are actually looking into the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Munafiqun that lived in that time. Either way, these ayat are a reflection on our daily life. Let's go on then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when they are called towards Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are they called? لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may pass a ruling between them, so that the Sharia may pass a ruling between something that is in their midst, that is happening in their midst. إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مُعْلِدُونَ. Then you will find that a group of them turn away. Now subhanAllah, this is what I was referring to when I said that in our daily life sometimes, don't we find that, you know, on a daily basis we do so much, you know, that sometimes we tend to come to a crossroads in life and now we're not sure whether we should continue with this action or we should leave it out of our life. Then what do we do normally? We send an email to a mufti, or we send an email for a fatwa to one of our local ulama, and we ask them for a hal to this matter, as they would say, and a solution to our problem. But when the solution comes, what then do we do? Do we respond by saying that I will follow this solution to the T? Or do we then turn away and say that we choose not to follow it, even after having been given the ruling? If we choose the latter, and if we choose not to follow up with the ruling that we have been given, then unfortunately, we too fall into the same category as these munafiqun. Because they were the ones who had a problem, and when this problem came to a point where they needed a solution, and Prophet ﷺ, using the Qur'an and the Sunnah, gave them a solution, gave them an interpretation of what should be done in this matter, what happened then? Then they chose not to follow it. Then they chose to turn away. Then they chose to do as their desires, as their whims dictated. Subhanallah. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says further on. وَإِن يَكُنْ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ يَأْتُ إِلَيْهِ مُذْعِنِينَ. Subhanallah. The Qur'an is so beautiful and it's so full of lesson. If only we take our time to sit down with it and actually read and, you know, draw from it the lessons that we need for our daily life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if it had been something that was in their favor, right? Something that they agreed with, something that was agreeable with their whims and fancies and their tendencies, what would they do then? يَأْتُ إِلَيْهِ مُذْعِنِينَ. They would come hurriedly, they would come excitedly, they would come willingly. So only when things are in our favor, only when things, rulings of the Sharia are in our favor, that's the only time we willingly and happily accept it. If at any other time the rulings of the Sharia are against our whims and desires and against what our tendencies and our innate nature wants, then it is very difficult for us to actually follow up with this. Now subhanAllah, my beloved listeners, my dear sisters listening out there, let's take a moment to reflect and to ponder. In my daily life, when I am faced with a crossroads and when I am faced with a decision about what I need to do in my life, then do I follow the Qur'an and the Sunnah, or do I choose to follow my whims and desires? This ayah is manifest and clear enough for us to realize that if we choose to follow our whims and desires, if we choose to follow our innate, lustful and carnal passions, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorizes us like He categorized these munafiqun. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from amongst those who choose to follow the Quran and the Sunnah at any juncture in our life and at every juncture in our life, no matter whether it is in accordance with our whims and fancies or against them. So to wrap up this discussion and just to read to you the last two ayah and do its translation, inshallah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Oh, sorry, I actually missed out an ayah. Sorry about that. Let's just go one ayah back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ. Do they have some sickness in their heart? أَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Or is it that they doubt? أَمْ يَخَافُونَ. Or do they fear? أَنْ يَحِيفَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Lest that the judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger give them would be incorrect. And this is a rhetorical question, obviously. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Rather, these people, they are clear transgressors. Because why are they clear transgressors? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because if they were real believers, this is what they would have done. إِنَّمَا قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, true believers, إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. When they are called towards Allah and His Messenger, لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ, in order that a ruling may be, or a judgment may be passed between them, أَيَّقُولُ, they say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We have heard and we have obeyed. Whatever this ruling is, whether it is in our favor, whether it is against our whims and desires, we will obey. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, these people, they are the rightly guided ones, Allah says. They will be the ones that will be successful. Where? In this world. Because if your life is according to Quran and the Sunnah, then inshallah your life will be one of ease and peace and success and joy and happiness. And even in the Akhirah, they will be the muflihun, the successful ones who will be able to get Jannat. عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Allah says, gardens under which rivers flow. This is the reward. And lastly, to wrap up, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ. And he fears Allah. وَيَتَّقِي. And he has this consciousness of Allah. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. So those, they are the ones who are successful. They are the ones who have, you know, the word faiz is used for a person who has, like someone who has won a competition, someone who has done excellently in a competition. So here we will say they are those who got first prize. And what is this first prize? Jannatu Naim, Jannatu Adn. They will get Ridwanum min Allahi Akbar, Allah says. These are all the things that they will get. Why? Because they chose to obey Allah and His Messenger. And they chose to have this consciousness of Allah when a decision came to them. That I must remember, I must be conscious of the fact that my Allah is aware. That if I do something against the ruling of my Allah, He will not be pleased with me. And if I want this ridwan of Allah, which is Akbar, which is the greatest, this happiness and this pleasure of Allah, then I need to remember, I need to follow in the footsteps of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my every action. And I need to use the Quran as my guide, my dastur, my guide by which I live my daily life. So inshallah, that's where we will leave our motivation and inspiration from Surah Nur for today. When we return, the life of Hajar radiallahu anha.
Ya Sayyidati al-Alamin, fi makhi kunna suratun, tutla ala madrissini, ya Ummahati al-Mu'minin, ya Sayyidati al-Alamin. كنا سورة تتلى على مر السنين. يا أهل بيت المصطفى خير البر يا أجمعين. الطهر أنتم نفايا بكرا لنا واليسامين. يا أهل بيت المصطفى أطهر أنتم نفايا طهور النفا واليسامين. العلم أن كنا خيا.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is the program Covered Pearls, and you are listening to me, Zakira and Sirmia. Today we are speaking about the life of Hajar radiallahu anha. In last week we spoke about Sarah radiallahu anha, and many of the sisters were quite intrigued by her story, her yaqeen, her motivation and her determination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would stand by her side, and despite standing in front of a great tyrant, her unwavering faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, these qualities of yaqeen and steadfastness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only gave her the rewards of the akhirah, but also she had some dunyawi rewards that she received from the same tyrant because of her steadfastness and conviction and her chastity and her morality that she showed. And one of these gifts, besides others, which among others there was a lot of money, there were animals, there was all these things, was Hajar radiallahu anha, a maidservant given to her for her service. And when she received Hajar, it was her choice what to do with Hajar. And she chose to gift Hajar to her husband, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hajar, who was a very beautiful Egyptian maiden, she is described as having a fairish complexion, rosy cheeks, dark hair, long lashes, very, very beautiful Egyptian maiden. She was then given to Ibrahim alayhi salam as a gift by his wife. In that time, one of the rulings were that if a man had a slave girl, then he could partake in conjugal rights with her, as this was one of the rulings of that pre-era. So, likewise, Hajar and Ibrahim alayhi salam, from their union came Ismail alayhi salam. And when we look at this union of theirs and how Ismail alayhi salam came about, we then realize how the two tribes came about. When we read in history, we will find that certain prophets came from Bani Israel and certain prophets came from Bani Ismail. Why? Because the father of the Anbiya, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had two sons. Their names were Ismail and Ishaq. But Ishaq alayhi salam also had, or at least Ishaq alayhi salam's son, Yaqub alayhi salam, also had another name, and that was Israel. And therefore, we have from the progeny, and if we read into history, we will see that they are Bani Israel and Bani Ismail. Now that we've understood that, let's look at Hajar radiallahu anha. So she came into the home of Ibrahim alayhi salam as a maidservant. She later on gave birth to a beautiful son, Ismail. But at some point, the relations between these two co-wives became a little bit estranged. And when this happened, Sarah radiallahu anha rather, said to Ibrahim alayhi salam that you can do with Hajar now as you please. And when she said this, Hajar became a bit scared. In fact, some narrations and historians say she tried running away. But an angel came and gave her the consolation that she was going to bear Ibrahim alayhi salam a son. And when this happened, and after she gave him the son, Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded by Allah to take his wife and his young son and leave them in a barren desert of Mecca. Now subhanAllah, let's look back at the rank that Sarah radiallahu anha had in the eyes of Allah. If we look at her rank and status, can we see something? Yes, of course. She must have had a great rank and status in the eyes of Allah. For Allah to intervene in this co-wife, you know, this little bit of friction that they were having, Allah intervened. And Allah said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, take Hajar away and take her with her son. Sarah at that time being old and not yet having any children, not being able to provide Ibrahim alayhi salam with any progeny as yet. Obviously she felt bad. So subhanAllah, in the wisdom of Allah to give her the solace as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Hajar and Ismail were taken far away. And when they were left in this barren desert of Makkah, then what happened? How did the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam come about? Well, if you'd like to know more about how the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam came about, you have to listen to the program next week and the same segment in next week's program, as unfortunately we've run out of time for this segment today. But I'm sure you are intrigued, as indeed the life of Hajar radiallahu anha has many a story for us to learn and many a life lesson for us to take. And during this time of Hajj, it is indeed a very relevant one that we should be looking at. So with that, until we meet again after the ad break for our female Masail segment, it's now time for an ad break.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lilla, sadaqa and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Lanesia. Call 011-854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
Please note, Al Tawheed is registered for Section 18A.
رہتا ہوں دل و جان سے طلبگار مدینہ بے کل ہو پائے.
One day, two friends were walking through the desert. During some point of the journey, they had an argument, and one friend slapped the other one in the face. The one who got slapped was hurt, but without saying anything, wrote in the sand, "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." They kept on walking until they found an oasis, where they decided to take a bath. The one who had been slapped got stuck in the mire and started drowning, but the friend saved him. After he recovered from the near drowning, he wrote on a stone, "Today, my best friend saved my life." The friend who had slept and saved his best friend asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you write on a stone, but why?" The other friend replied, "When someone hurts us, we should write it down in sand, where winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone, where no wind can ever erase it."
Sedges, situated in Barenachim, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department, tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgers, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to me, Zakira Ansarmia, and this is the program Covered Pearls. Yes, this is the segment of the program where we do an audio ziyara of Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara. Currently, we are doing the Haram of Makkah Mukarrama. So, inshallah, today we will be speaking about the Mataf and the Maqam Ibrahim. Thus far, we've covered the roof of the Kaaba, the Shah Darawa. We've also covered the key of the Kaaba, as well as the Ruknul Yamani and the Hajarul Aswad. So, inshallah, to continue today, we speak about the Mataf. The Mataf refers to the open area immediately around the Kaaba, where Tawaf takes place. With reference to it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ
أن طهر بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود. And we commanded Ibrahim and Ismail, saying, clean and remove the idols from my house for those who perform tawaf, those who stay in it, those who bow, and those who prostrate, referring to those who perform salate. Throughout the passage of time, the Masjid al-Haram has always remained open. Addressing his tribe, the Banu Abdi Manaf, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, O children of Banu Abdi Manaf, if you gain authority after me, then whether night or day, you should never prevent people from performing tawaf of the Kaaba. And this is what we learn about the mataf. So this is the open space where people perform tawaf. Nowadays there have been some structures that have been placed onto the mataf so that there are various levels that tawaf can be performed on. And going on, we speak about the Maqam Ibrahim. The place where the feet of a standing person falls is normally referred to as Maqam in the Arabic language. Hence, the Maqam Ibrahim therefore refers to the blessed stone that Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam brought for his father, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, to stand on when building the walls of the Kaaba. Thereafter, as Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam continued passing stones on, and as Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam continued laying them in place, the Maqam Ibrahim continued going higher and higher as the walls rose. And hence, this is what's so miraculous about the stone. And when we look at the stone, it does look like a normal stone, but there was definitely something special about it in that, as you've heard now, it could move up and down like the hydraulic lift would nowadays when you see the people building, etc. They'd be standing in this little basket and, it would be moving them up and down between the different levels so that they could complete a building structure that's being put up really high. Being a descendant of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, the footprints of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam closely matched those of his forefather, Hazrat Juham bin Hudhayfa, who was a Sahabi, who was present when the Quraysh rebuilt the Kaaba, as well as when Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu rebuilt it, says that the blessed footprints of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very closely matched those of his forefather, Hazrat Ibrahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned, from all the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it is I who resemble him the most. Tahir Qurdi, a historian, says that the depth of one of the footprints is 10 centimeters, while the other is 9 centimeters. The imprints of the toes are however not visible any longer due to the touching of countless people over the centuries and exposure to the elements before having been cased. The length of each foot is 22 centimeters and their width is 11 centimeters. This tells us the height of Ibrahim alayhi salam equal to that of an exceptionally tall man of our times. So subhanallah, from this we come to understand that Ibrahim alayhi salam was probably a really tall person. And alhamdulillah, now we understand the purpose or what was so special about the Maqam Ibrahim. Now we go on to speak about the well of Zamzam, some important facts about Zamzam. This blessed well is located 21 meters from the Kaaba. New research has revealed that the water gushes from several springs around the well, delivering 11 to 18.5 liters of water per second. This amounts to a minimum yield of 660 liters per minute and 39,600 liters per hour. The mouth of one of these springs opens in the direction of the Hajar al-Aswad. It is 75 centimeters long and 30 centimeters high, and this spring delivers the most water. The mouth of another opens in front of the place where the Adhan is called out, and this one is 70 centimeters long and 30 centimeters high. Besides these, there are several smaller springs in the directions of Mount Safa and Marwa. Despite extensive use of the water has not diminished and is still flowing after approximately 5,000 years. It can well be stated that this is the oldest well on earth. Subhanallah. So now, if we were to recap, where the mount of Safa and Marwa are, often we would hear that if you had to follow the green light, that is normally where we make istilam of the Hajarul Aswad, and if you will continue to walk straight, then you will reach Mount Safa. Well, let's see what we can learn about the Mas'a area, that is the area where we make Sa'i. This is a little hill, that is Mount Safa is a little hill from which one of the important rites of Hajj and Umrah begins. It is located southeast of the Kaaba at a distance of 130 meters and is now covered by a domed roof. The Quran makes mention of this hill in the verse, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah. And this verse is in Surah Baqarah, Ayah number 158, and it means, verily Safa and Marwa are among the landmarks or distinctive signs of Allah. And this is the ayah that we also recite when we start our sa'i. Abu Sufyan's house was situated at the beginning of the Mudda'a road that is now closed because it leads to Marwa. And for a long period of time, it remained a famous landmark. However, in the year 1082, it was incorporated into the Al-Quban Hospital and it was later demolished in the year 1385 when the Haram was expanded. Now let's go on to Mount Marwa. Marwa is also a little hill which derived its name from its rock, which is whitish and extremely hard. It is located approximately 300 meters from the Ruknu Shami. That is the Rukn, the corner of the Kaaba that faces the easterly direction. The Sa'i ends on this hillock. It is also graced by being mentioned in the Quran in the same ayah that I mentioned before, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Mount Safa. Now, if we were to look at the Mas'a, the strip of ground between Safa and Marwa, this is the area that we make Sa'i on, hence its name that it has derived, the Mas'a, the place where Sa'i is carried out. All the while, when Hajar radiallahu anha was looking for water, when she and her infant son Ismail alayhi salam became really thirsty, she ran between these two hillocks. And didn't we speak about that at length before the break? Yes, of course, so you remember it from there. All the while she was keeping an eye on her son, but when she passed through the valley between Safa and Marwa, he was hidden from her view. So for this reason, she ran through the spot so that she could see him again as she rose to the hill. And in emulation of this great act, people walked where she walked and ran where she ran. The area where she ran has been demarcated by green lighting so that people know where they should run. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk past by the area where the ground dipped. This area is nowadays marked by green lights and green markings on the walls as well. The Mas'a area measures 394.5 meters from the wall behind Safa up to the wall behind Marwa, and its width is 20 meters. The total area that one floor of the Mas'a covers is 789 square miles. The combined area of the two Mas'a floors is 15,780 square meters. While the height of the first floor is 11.75 meters, the height of the second floor is a mere 8.5 meters. On both levels, there are escalators as well as lifts joining the two floors. While the escalators are situated outside the Safa door, the lifts are on the inside of the Marwa. By counting all these doors, the number may exceed 112. So, that's where we stop with our audio ziyara for today of Makkatul Mukarrama. And inshallah, when we return after the break, I come to you with your female masail queries that you've been sending in.
But Crescent of Hope, once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Qurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. And trust us with your Nifl or Wajib Qurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for Deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370. 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesia. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
Real-time stories of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Time, the camel. The caravan had been traveling for a few hours now. Signs of fatigue were obvious on their faces. They arrived at a point and stopped. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was also in the caravan, stopped the camel and landed. Prior to anything, they were in search of water to prepare for prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also started searching for water, but soon returned to his camel without saying anything to anyone. The companions were surprised that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had ordered stopping here, and now perhaps he would like to move again. Eyes and ears were awaiting his order, but the surprise of the group increased as they saw him approach his camel and tie its knees and returned back in search of water. Noises were raised from every corner. O Prophet of Allah, why didn't you order us to do this for you? And instead, you put yourself in discomfort. We would have proudly done that service for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded, never seek others' help in your affairs. Don't lean on others, even if it is for a small piece of miswak.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Where will the smart shoppers shop? At Honeybee, of course. Where else? Browse through our newly extended shop where you'll find that baking is a pleasure. At Honeybee, you'll find everything under one roof. From breathtaking floral arrangements, decadent chocolates, nutty parcels, appliances, biscuit boxes, and wedding and bridal gifts to please.
Win a Kenwood K-Mix baking machine and loads of other prizes. 10% of all baking goodies. Specials valid from the 4th and 5th and Sunday the 6th of September. Try our new molding chocolate exclusive to Honeybee.
Honeybee, our prices don't sting.
You're into the final segment of the program, Covered Pearls, and you're with me, Zakira and Sermia. This is the segment of the program where we discuss female masail. So, if you still have any queries and questions on your mind, you can send them through to the number 061-406-2688 or simply drop me an email on the email address zda@radioislamlive.com. Well, now that I've mentioned to you the mediums through which you can keep in touch with me, let's go into those queries. So, there have been quite a few that have been repetitive. And because they have been repeated, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a synopsis and a roundabout discussion in which I'm going to try and cover all of them. So inshallah, I'm going to try covering all your queries, but I do ask you that if your query has not yet been covered and you don't still fully understand what the answer to your specific question was, then you can still send me that email or that WhatsApp message and inshallah, I will help you. We're going to be touching on something that we did touch on last week, but I think we'll just cover it in a bit more detail this week, and that is with regards to the issue of taking medication when going on the journey of Hajj. Now, alhamdulillah, a lot of our hujjaj have already left, or many will be leaving today, tomorrow, Wednesday, like that. So, inshallah, within the next week, most of the hujjaj, 90% of them would have been gone. So if you are going for the journey of Hajj and if you wish to take medication to keep away your hayd, then firstly you need to go to a medical doctor to have an assessment done and for him to give you a go-ahead with regards whether it is fine health-wise for you to be taking medication to keep away your hayd for the duration that you will be going on Hajj. That's number one. Number two is that from a Shari'i perspective, yes, it is permissible and it's fine, provided it does not become injurious to your health. So let's keep that in mind then. The other angle is that if you are going to take medication, you must remember that even though you are taking medication, if at any point during your Hajj journey you do experience breakthrough bleeding, and breakthrough bleeding is a bleeding that you experience despite taking these pills to keep away your hayd, etc. Sometimes what happens is the body just does what it normally is supposed to do during that time of the month and you experience some bleeding. This bleeding may not necessarily be as heavy, may not necessarily be the color as your normal hayd bleed. But despite all of this, it will also be considered as hayd and you will have to stop salah, you will not be able to go to the haram, etc., to the Masjid al-Haram or Masjid al-Nabawi because of this, right? So this is with regards breakthrough bleeding. Now that we have understood what breakthrough bleeding is, let me also mention to you that what tends to happen is that when we take the progesterone-induced pill, the primulata, whatever it may be, for a very long period of time, Provera, then sometimes this does happen to women. It is a great phenomena. You know, it's quite common amongst the women that this happens. So you may be fine for all your other days leading up to Hajj, and then on the 5 days, because of the anxiety and, you know, the excitement and the nervousness and all of that, you start bleeding. So to prevent all this, one of the solutions would be that while you are in Madinatul Munawwara, don't take anything. And if when you are in Madinatul Munawwara, your hayd is supposed to be due, then let it come. Because by doing this, what you will then be doing is you will be allowing your body to do what it naturally is supposed to do, number one. Number two is that when you do take it then, to keep it away when you're in Makkah to Mukarrama and on your days of Hajj, there's a lesser time period. So the likelihood of you experiencing this breakthrough bleed is much less. Right? And then obviously we must also keep in mind that in Madinatul Munawwara, a lady who is in Hajj can still send abundant durood and salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She can still go sit where the green dome is in line with that outside the Masjid al-Nabawi and send salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make dua from any part of the outside of the Masjid al-Nabawi, right? Sitting on the outside area of the Masjid, in the courtyard of the Masjid. So you can do all these things while you are in the state of Hajj. So yes, you will not be able to go into the actual masjid or the rawda or perform salah in Medina, but if you would like to rather have a less, you know, the likelihood of you not getting your hayd later on when it will be more detrimental, then you might as well allow yourself to get your hayd now in Madinatul Munawwara. And most of the hujjaj that go often stay for 10 days in Medina. So normally if you were to get your hayd also, you'd only get it for 7 days, 5 days, like that. So inshallah you'll still have a few days where you will be able to go into the rawda, where you will still be able to go in and make salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, etc. So inshallah let's keep this in mind for the sisters. Then going on, we will now speak about the type of garments you need to wear, because this seems to be a recurring question as well. So the garments of the sister that is going on Hajj does not necessarily have to be white. She can wear garments of any color, in fact. If she does choose to wear white though, she must remember that wearing the proper undergarments is very necessary, as this is the journey of Hajj and you don't want to spoil it in any way by doing, you know, by dressing scantily where you are able to see through the white garment, etc. So please keep that in mind for the sisters with regards to the ihram. Now, this is a query that has come in. The sister asks, well, she understands in Medina. Now, what about in Makkah Tul Mukarramah if she gets a haid? What will happen there? Well, sister, if you get your haid in Makkah Tul Mukarramah, you must remember that, just like I said, that in Medina Tul Munawwara, where you are allowed to make dua from any part, sitting in the courtyard of the masjid, similarly in Masjid al-Haram, sitting outside in the courtyard of the masjid, you can make dua from anywhere. But at the same time, you must remember that in Masjid al-Haram, there are more activities that you need to do. So, like you would have probably been making tawaf if you were fine, and you would have been performing your salah, etc. You won't be able to do any of this. Not tawaf, not perform salah, not enter the masjid in any way, not even to go and sit and look at the Kaaba, the Baytullah, al-Musharraf. No, you will not be able to do any of this. You will only be allowed to sit on the outside of the masjid in the courtyard and make your dua from there. Now, for the sister that is entering into ihram, this could also tend to be a bit of a worry for the sister. If you are in the state of hayd when you are leaving Madinatul Munawwara, then you can enter in the state of ihram. When you get to Masjid Aisha, which is often the stopover place for the Mu'tamireen to make their two rakats of Salatul Ihram, then you will not make these two rakats, but you will continue with your Talbiyah, and this will signify that you are now in the state of Ihram. You will then remain in that state for as long as it takes for your Hayd to finish, and as soon as your Hayd terminates, you will take a ghusl. But it must be remembered that when taking this ghusl, you will now take this ghusl with no scented items because you are in the state of ihram, right? And the ghusl that you are taking is merely to come out of the state of hayd. You find the ghusl from hayd. So you will take this ghusl, and then if a male family member would like to accompany you, then he can accompany you. But if not, and if you are you know how to do the rituals of Umrah, that is the tawaf and the sa'i, on your own, and you feel safe enough to do it, then by all means you can go and do it on your own. You do not need to go back to Masjid Aisha and all of this. No, none of this is necessary because you are in the state of ihram already. Just remember that when you take this ghusl, you will have to use no scented items because you are in the state of ihram. Okay? Then for the lady who is going to be on her 5 days of Hajj, and unfortunately she now experiences a haid. This was the case of Aisha radiallahu anha. She was, it was the days of Hajj and she experienced her haid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then consoled her and told her that, you know, she doesn't need to worry because she can do all the other actions like the rest of the Hujjaj. These were the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, you know, you can continue as the rest of the Hujjaj with everything else besides the Tawafu Ziyarah. Now, we know that Tawafu Ziyarah is one of the necessary acts of Hajj. Hence, if you did not manage to perform your Tawafu Ziyarah, what the Shafi'i would term Tawafu Al-Ifada, then you will have to stay behind until your Hajj is complete, take the ghusl and perform your Tawafu Ziyarah. So, staying in the tent in Mina, making wukuf in Arafah, sleeping under the stars in Muzdalifah, making or at least pelting the jamarat on the 3 days, all this will be fine for the lady who is in the state of hayd. The only thing she will not be able to do is make her tawafu ziyara and her sa'i that goes with it. So, that's the only thing. So, for that, she will have to stay behind a day or two until her hayd is complete and then perform it. And alhamdulillah, then her hajj will be complete. Now, subhanAllah, like I tell you every week, time is just against us and it runs out so quickly. And once again, we've come to the end of another program of Covered Pulse. But remember that you can join me again tomorrow on Sister Amara's program, Women's Weekly. And inshallah, we will also be discussing a sister's guide to Hajj. So for more of your Hajj queries, until we meet tomorrow, same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.